for about this morning by something Sue Matthews did with us in a staff meeting at the start of December. If you put the next slide up, John. And she encouraged us to have an Advent calendar of thankfulness and to write down all the days of the month and to write down against each day something that we were thankful for, and then to put that somewhere that could remind us each day to, you know, be really active in thanking God for those things. And I did that. I put it in my Bible so that each morning when I read my Bible, and I found it really helpful, because when I pray, I can have a tendency to, you know, too quickly get onto the praying for people and things and situations. And actually having something that prompted me to be more thankful on a regular basis, I thought was a really good thing. And that's got me thinking a little bit. And I've got a challenge for myself that I'm going to share with you and encourage you to think about at the end. But why should we give thanks? Why? No, not yet, John, thanks. Why? That's the next slide. Why should we give thanks? Well, I was reading something on the internet, so this must be true, that there are benefits to being a thankful person. This is not Christian research. This is just secular research. It turns out there's a growing body of research which shows there are many psychological benefits to being grateful, including feeling happier, lowering stress, lowering depression and anxiety. Not only that, there's scientific evidence that expressing genuine gratitude on a daily basis can improve physical health, as well as improving quality of sleep, heart health, and immune function. Gratitude promotes optimism and helps us develop a more positive outlook. Gratitude is simply cultivating a genuine appreciation for what we already have. So that's not preaching from the Bible. That's not a particular Christian worldview, but I think it's something that I would agree with. But for us as Christians, our gratitude is not sort of gratitude into thin air. It's not the gratitude that I expressed as a child when, you know, I got my present and I was saying thank you into space. We know who we're saying thank you to. We're saying thank you to our Father in heaven for all the great things that he's done for us. Tim Keller talks quite a lot about the difference between religion and relationship. And one of the things he talks about when he does that is he talks about what our prayer life looks. And when we're living in religion, our prayer life can be very focused on the things that we want. And that list of people to pray for, situations to pray for. And I'm not saying in any way that that's a bad thing. But when we're living out of relationship, when we're living out of knowing our God, knowing who Jesus is, then the focus of our prayer life can shift somewhat into thankfulness. And there should be, you know, when we're spending time with God, a lot of that time that we're doing should be in times of adoration, in times of worship, in times of thanking him for all the things that he has done for us. So what does being thankful do to us? Well, firstly, it takes our eyes off ourselves and of the danger that we have sometimes of being self-centered and almost arrogant about, if we look around at the things that we've got, we can think, oh, haven't I done well through my job or whatever, and these are all the things that I've got. But what it reminds us of is that all those things have come from God. And it does remind us that we are blessed. If we're not careful sometimes, we can fall in a trap of focusing on the things we don't have rather than on the things that we do have. But by giving thanks continually, we're reminded of all that we do have. And when we start thanking God, actually, it helps us get our perspective in the right place. We realize that we can't exist without all the blessings that God gives us. It reminds us of who God is. God is our creator. He made us in the first place. God is our sustainer. He gives us breath every day, and he's the provider of all the good things in our lives. And finally, it reminds us that there's more to come, that this life is not the end. When we're thankful for Jesus and him being in our lives, it reminds us that there's more to come and that we do have a future. So what things should we be thankful for? Firstly, we should be thankful for everything that is in creation. Next slide, please, John. In James, he says this, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And Paul in Philippians says this, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Everything that is good we can thank God for. So when I did my Advent calendar of gratitude, I had lots of things on there. I had people, family and friends. I had my job, my home, food. And I also had golf on there. We can all be grateful for golf. Well, perhaps not all of us. Some of us might not love golf so much. But, you know, those things that we do that are, you know, perhaps slightly more recreational, and you think, well, is that a good thing or not? And as I was thinking about that, I was reminded of one of my favourite films, which is Chariots of Fire, the story of Eric Liddell, who was obviously a hero to the church, as we named the back hall after him. And those of you who don't know, Eric Liddell lived in the 1920s. He felt called to be a missionary in China, but he was also a very fast runner. And also a rugby international, but only for Scotland, so it doesn't really count. But he was a very hi, John. But he was a very fast runner, and the story is of him winning a medal at the Olympics. But before he went to that, his sister was putting him under pressure to go to China and not to run. And he's explaining that he feels like God wants him to. And he says this, I believe that God made me for a purpose. And that purpose was ultimately for him to go to China. And he died there in the Second World War. But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. And there is something about, you know, those things that we do that are recreational. So yesterday I had a day playing golf with Tom, which was a real blessing. I had a great time. It didn't rain on us. It was pretty windy though. But it was just lovely to be out in the open air, to be doing something competitive. And those are all things that we can be grateful to God for. We don't just have to be grateful for the spiritual things. We can be grateful to God for absolutely everything. We can be grateful to God for people, and we should be thankful for one another, for many friends and family that help us along our way. The Christians in Corinth were not a perfect people. That's why Paul had to write two long letters to them, pointing out things that they were not perhaps doing the way that he would have wanted them to, and pointing out things that they could improve on. But he still said this about them, I always thank God for you. And I found that quite challenging, thinking about it. You know, I don't always thank God for people. I have to say, sometimes I find people really hard work. Sometimes I need time away from people completely, as a few of many introverts in the room will agree with me on that. But Paul says about this troublesome group of people in Corinth that he always thanks God for them. And when we're thanking God for people, we're thankful, firstly, sometimes that people are just there. You know, I'm grateful you lot are here this morning, or I'd feel a real Wally talking to this empty room. But, we should be thankful that people are there in our lives. We should be thankful to God that people have gifts and abilities and skills. And sometimes that is just sitting with you when you need someone to talk to. Or for us introverts, that's someone sitting with you and not talking to you, but just being there with you. And thirdly, we can be thankful when those people who are gifted are really using and exercising and growing in their gifts. I used to feel a little bit uncomfortable when on a Sunday, you know, we'd give the worship team a clap after they'd finished leading us, or that we'd clap the speaker. I'm not looking for applause now, don't I? But there was a little bit in me that thought, oh, I don't know if we should be doing that. But actually, as I've thought about it and talked it over with people, when we do that, we're not just applauding like we might do if we're at a rock concert when Rich goes and plays with a band, you know, where they're just applauding the people. When we do that, we're expressing our gratitude to God for those people and the way in which they're serving. And I think that's something that I've been challenged about as I've been thinking about this, is how much I thank God for all of you and all the people that are in my life, but also how much I thank you. So I'd like to, you know, thank all of you who serve and, you know, look around the room. I know that most of you are on some serving rota. And at the end of this year, I just want to say on behalf of me and the leadership team, you know, we're really grateful for all that you do. We're really grateful for those of you who get up and are here at 8 o'clock to lead us in worship. We're really grateful for those of you who sit on the PA desk, for those of you who make us our teas and coffees and pastries. I just felt this morning that pastries would be a step too far. I'm sure you've all eaten too much, so that's why there weren't any. But, you know, for those who get tea and coffee and pastries ready, for those who welcome, for those who do kids' work, those of you who are out in the wet and the cold doing the car park, all of you who serve, I just want to say thank you. I'm grateful to God for you, because our Sunday mornings and all the stuff we do during the week wouldn't work without the hearts that you've got to serve one another and to serve God. So we can be thankful to God for people and for one another. Next slide, please. We can be thankful that God is with us and that he grows us through difficult times. Now, this is a little bit more challenging, I think. There's lots of stuff in our lives that doesn't go well. Sometimes that's as a result of us messing up and making mistakes, and there's consequences from that. Sometimes that's a result of other people hurting us, doing things to us or saying things to us, and that we're hurt and we have to struggle with. That causes relationships to be messed up and broken. But lots of those things, there's also things that don't seem as though they're the result of ourselves or other people. You know, illness comes in to many people's lives, and that can be a real challenge. You might lose your job through redundancy because the business that you're working for goes through a bad time. Lots of other things that come that are difficult. St. Paul knew times that were hard. This is a quote from a letter in Corinthians. He says this: 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles. And in fact, he goes on, there's more to the quote there. So Paul understands what hardship and trial and difficulties is. But he also says this in one of his other letters: rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. So for Paul, it wasn't just give thanks when things are going well, but when all this rubbish is being thrown at you, you can stop giving thanks. No, Paul, who had a really hard time taking the gospel into many parts of the world that hadn't received it, what Paul says is give thanks in all circumstances. And that's a real challenge to me. I know that's not something I naturally want to do. It's easy to be thankful for the good times, but Paul knew that he needed to be giving thanks in every situation. One reason is because he knew that God was with him through all those times. But secondly, he also knew that God used those for his good and for his spiritual growth. In Romans, he says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And James, in his letter, says this: "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." I know many of you are going through tough times now, and it's not easy to be thankful in those times. But I'm sure, like me, many of you can look back in times of your life that were really tough, and you know two things. Firstly, that God carried you through those times. And secondly, that through those times, God did something in you. He grew you, he changed you, he molded you to be more of the person that he wanted you to be. So we can give thanks in all our circumstances. Finally, we should give thanks for his salvation in Jesus Christ. God has given us the greatest gift of all, his son Jesus. We've celebrated that over this Christmas time when we remember his coming to earth. But he didn't come to earth just to live. He came to die on the cross and to rise again so that we can know him personally and be certain that we're going to spend eternity with him. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Our sins separated us from God, but God loved us. He loves you, he loves me, and he wanted us to be part of his family forever. He loves us so much that he sent his only son. In John 3:16, it says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." We should not let a day go by without thanking God for his mercy and his grace to us in Jesus Christ and the relationship we have with God. That's totally due to the work that Jesus did. That truth is something to be really thankful for, and it's something that can carry us through some of those hardest times. So, how can we be thankful? Well, you know, it's fairly easy. We just use our mouths. Worship is a great way in which we can be thankful. Worship is about focusing on God, focusing on who he is and all that he's done. Psalm 100 is one of many psalms that helps us to think about worship. And in verse 4 and 5, it says this, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." When we worship together, when we thank God together, we enter into the place of his presence. And we're going to do that in a few minutes and have the opportunity to respond in thankfulness to God. And that's great to do on a Sunday morning. And we really appreciate the opportunity to do that openly in this country. But that shouldn't just be something that we do on a Sunday. It should be something that is part of our life. When I pray, I have this little acronym that just helps me focus, which is ACTS. So adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And I must admit, as I've said, sometimes I'm so keen to get to the supplication. Supplication means asking for things. I'm so keen, that becomes my focus so much that, you know, the other three, and particularly the thanksgiving, I just brush over a little bit. And so I've got a challenge for myself, but also that I want to give you to how just some simple ways in which we can think about practicing thankfulness during our days. Does someone just want to tell Mel that we're going to finish in a couple of minutes, just to hopefully that they'll be focused? So this is the challenge that I'm setting myself for the start of the year, and I want to challenge you to think about doing the same. So there's a morning, a through the day, and an evening challenge. So the morning challenge, and this may be more difficult for some of you than others, because if you have a 2-year-old child jumping on your head at 6 o'clock in the morning, thankfulness might not be the first thing that comes into your head. But the morning challenge is when you wake up and you're still lying in bed, just thank God for three things or three people who are in your life. It can be the same three things every day, it can be different three things every day, but just think about, can I start my day with thankfulness? And that can be a quick prayer, you know, thank you Lord for my mum, dad and my sister, or whatever it is. But just to cultivate that habit of thankfulness starting the day. So that's the first bit. The second bit is through the day, as you go through the day, recognize and thank God and others for their kindness and help. I'm sure as most of you go through the day, there will be people that will help you and will do kind things for you. Just as they're doing that, just A, remember to say thank you for them. Again, something I'm really lousy at, and something that, you know, Mel is good at provoking me, saying, you know, for her, it's really a positive thing when I thank her when she does things. Now, you know, that's something I am trying to learn and trying to practice more. But not just for family and friends, for people we work with, for our neighbours, whatever it is, thank them, but also thank God for them and the blessings that they're giving you. And then in the evening, you know, before you go to sleep, just thank God again, perhaps for three things that you've done that have happened to you in that day that you're grateful for. I'm sure most of us can think of three things at the end of a day that we're grateful for. It might be just getting through the day. If the kids have been particularly troublesome, it might be that you're thanking God that they're asleep, you know, and that's a good thing. You know, but, you know, we've all got somewhere to live. We've all got food. We've all got family and friends somewhere. So just as at the end of the day, try and end the day with thankfulness as well. So that's a challenge that I'm going to take on. I'd challenge you. So why don't you practice that for this week? And why don't you see if in doing that, that actually changes the way that you're thinking about life, you're thinking about the world, you're thinking about God. If you take that brief moment in the morning and in the evening, and then opportunities during the day where you're saying thank you. So that's my challenge. So I'm going to see if... Are the children ready? Okay, yeah, great. So the children have been making, I'm hoping, a big paper chain of thankfulness. And I'm hoping one or two of them will... So they've all had a piece of paper. They've written on something or someone that they're thankful for. And I'm hoping it's all come together and they're going to bring it in. Here we go.